One Hand Speaks. Hey, hey, my friends. This is Alejandro Anastasio with the One Hand Speaks Storytelling Podcast. Humorous, intimate, and enlightening one-handed stories about life and beyond. Getting back to training in the martial art of Aikido after an incredibly long 10-year break. Onegashimasu, my podcasting friends. Okay, here we go. Podcast number 83. This one's all about taking 10 years off from doing Aikido, a Japanese martial art that I've been doing since late 1996, early 1997. It's probably been about 22 years now. And for 10 years, I lived in my own martial arts school. Yeah, Three Shapes Aikido, 1512 North 10th Street, down in historic Boise's North End. I ran the 10th Street Dojo. The dojo, I bought that back in 2000. Locally famous martial arts school. Started out as a country store in 1905. The building's been there for a long time. It's in a residential area. It's actually the first place I started doing Aikido. And then a few years later, probably 5 years later, I think I ended up buying it. No, 3 years later. I ended up buying the building and moving in. Before that, I trained there for a while, but then my sensei had a little life change and he couldn't teach. And then I was just running around trying to do Aikido wherever I could find it. I actually traveled back to Seattle for 3 months, met Mary Heine sensei there, did a lot of training at Two Cranes Aikido and mostly at Emerald City Aikido with Joanne sensei. Great, phenomenal time. And then I traveled around a little bit more and was just doing Aikido on the road, came back to Boise, started training with miscellaneous people, and then started renting space back at the 10th Street Dojo. And then I eventually bought the building. The sensei there at the time was moving on, and he offered me the opportunity, and basically it was a miracle that I was able to acquire the loan. But nonetheless, there it was. Intention was great, and I made it happen. Now I live at the 10th Street Dojo. It's great. I'm just living my martial art. And for 10 years, I taught full-time. I was a professional, full-time martial artist, ran a full-time professional dojo, yo. And it was all about personal growth and family and community. We took really good care of our community here in the North End. And if you were part of Three Shapes Aikido, that was something rare. We did some great stuff. We had a great May Day celebration. Yeah, I had these rockin' May Day celebrations, and they grew and grew. Started in my backyard, but they grew and grew and grew. And then before you know it, I was holding it in a park, and it was starting to be a really big deal. Community service was part of my testing requirement. I took care of a lot of the North End kids, and wow, it was great. I'm telling you know what? It was a slamming decade. And I got to do an incredible amount of Aikido training. I mean, there was a lot of teaching. I had to bring a lot of people up. But I lived my martial art. I trained every day. I lived in my martial arts school. So sometimes I'd sneak downstairs. I had an apartment upstairs, and I'd just go downstairs and train. I'd fall asleep on the mat. I'd get up and train. I hosted a lot of events. I held a lot of Buddhist events there and had my dojo open for many teachers to come, many, many monks and nuns to come and teach. And that is actually where I made my deep connection with my Vajra master right now, my Buddhist teacher, Dzogchen Kenpo Choga Rinpoche. We met deeply at my dojo. We got the first deep connection there. And, you know, I had such an incredible time training and living Aikido. And I also spent a lot of time on the road. I spent a lot of time on the road traveling. I actually spent so much time training in California. Some students actually thought my dojo was in California. And then because I had a dojo, and this is actually a funny thing, I met my very good friend, Aikido sensei, Aikido mentor, dear, dear friend, musical companion, and all around just deep samurai brother by the name of Tija Bell. I met him at a classical guitar master's class in Montana, of all places. And he found out that I was doing Aikido. He was a fourth degree black belt at the time. I was like a fourth Q, just a baby. But I had my martial arts school. I forgot to mention that I bought my school as a fourth Q. And if you know anything about ranks, that is amazing. And I just made a really deep connection with Tisha Bell Sensei. He's now a Zen priest. He's also my Zen connection, my first deep Buddhist connection, and we're still connected. And he teaches me the martial arts, and he's a good friend, and that's all because I have this dojo in Boise, Idaho, and there's like a dearth of Aikido. There's much more Aikido now, generally speaking, than there was at that time, almost 20 years ago now, wow. Basically, it's been 20 years because for 10 years, I ran a martial arts school. And then in late 2009, early 2010, it's almost been 10 years, might have been 10 years now, I closed my school. But the foundation is that I did a lot of great things for people. I took care of the North End. I held a lot of great events. I brought in a lot of teachers, offered a lot of events. I brought Pamelia Kurtzen out. She's one of the world's greatest theremin players. Yeah, and this Apache flute player, Blue Wolf. I've had some great musical events at Three Shapes Aikido, and I grew a lot as a martial artist. Got all the way up to third degree black belt. That's my current rank right now. And wow, I just lived Aikido. Let me say it one more time. It was an incredible decade of my life. Incredible decade. But then, what happened? The economy started to crash. Now, the funny thing about an economy crash is that some people make a lot of money during economy crashes. I wasn't one of them. I actually ended up losing my martial arts school and the house that I had at the time. And my mom got really sick at that time. Well, she came pretty close to dying, so I went to go get her so I could take care of her, and then it got real challenging trying to take care of my mom and take care of my school and pay all my bills and go to my part-time job and make all that happen. So basically, I had to make a choice, and there's no choice there to make. Take care of my mother. And it's really interesting. At that time, I got some good advice from Mary Heine Sensei and Georgia Ledyard Sensei, one of my other Aikido mentors out in Seattle. They had suggested it might be a good idea to close my school and kind of straighten things up for a little bit. But at that time, it was such a hard decision. Excuse me. But then even my sensei at the time, who's still my sensei right now, Hiroshi Ikeda Sensei out of Boulder Aikikai, he's where I get my rank. He's my man. I love Ikeda Sensei. He's like the rock star of Aikido right now. I brought him out for a seminar. We were talking. He knew I was going through some hard times. And this is really profound. This made a difference in my life because I asked him about what I should do and all this. And he said, you know, Alejandro, if you really want to be a good student for me, you want to be a good Aikido student under me, you should take care of your mother. Wow. And then he said, you know, Alejandro, dojos come and go. But one thing people never tell you is that if you hang out long enough, they might come back around. And it's really, it just was so reassuring. He's like, you know, I'll see you again. And it took quite some time. So I closed my school and I devoted myself to taking care of my mom for that time frame. And I was only working part-time. Finances were tight. Oh my gosh. Times was hard. And I ended up taking about 9 years off Aikido. The title of the podcast is 10 Years Gone. It's a great Zeppelin tune, but it's basically around that time frame. And it was tough. I wanted to quit. I didn't really want to quit, but it's probably a good thing that I quit. And the challenge is there is not that much Aikido around in Idaho, so it's just difficult to train. And then another sensei friend of mine showed up, Jamie Zimron Sensei, and she could tell. She's like, oh, Alejandro, I've lost a dojo before, and you look burnt. You're just fried crispy. And at that time, I couldn't even think about doing Aikido. I had so much going on. But you know what? Over the years, I just miss it. I miss Aikido. And I think if you do anything for 20 years and you train a lot, I mean, I was training 3, 4, 5 hours a day sometimes. I was traveling almost twice a month to train all around the Pacific Northwest. And it really, you know, I just had a part-time job. I was running a dojo full-time. It was basically my life. You know, I live as an artist, and sometimes I tell people that it is a martial art. It's like performance on one level. I mean, it's how creatively can you move? And as a one-handed guy, I have to kind of create my own Aikido. It's not like doing two-handed Aikido. There's a very creative element. But I just, you know, I just love Aikido. I love the martial art of Aikido, and I love martial arts in general. I'm down with some kung fu to boot. You know, the whole Bodhidharma, Shaolin monk, Chinese kung fu thing, this deep relationship between the martial arts and Buddhism. If you go back to when Bodhidharma came to China, it's no joke. And his number one student Hoi Ko, who has one hand like me, or should I say I have one hand like him. We are basically the same, martial artists, Buddhists, that kind of thing. And I have one hand, he has one hand. And it's the main reason why all Shaolin monks bow with one hand. After Bodhidharma left, Hoi Ko took over, ran the Shaolin monastery, helped teach martial arts. I mean, this is some deep stuff here, yo. But, and I'm all into it. I'm all into it. Such a great, great, deep connection. But I just miss doing it. I miss the martial arts so much. I just miss doing Aikido. And it's interesting, over the past 9 years, or basically over the past decade, you know, I feel my body getting tighter and my balance isn't so good and my dexterity and my adroitness not so great. And then, you know, I turned 50. Yeah, the big 5-0. This Thursday, the 29th, that's my birthday. And it's interesting because I always hear people growing up in the martial arts, they're talking about, oh, 50. Your 50s are the best years in your martial arts because that's when you still have an incredible amount of strength with the most amount of experience. What a great thing to look forward to. And I always looked forward to doing the martial arts and being 50, and it's about to happen. And it's interesting because even Frank Duran Shihan, 8th degree black belt, oh, I love Duran Sensei. He said his Aikido really started to change after he turned 70 because he couldn't really bank on strength anymore. And that's a really interesting idea. And even Ikeda Sensei said, oh, I want to be just some very old, frail Japanese man and throw around 20-year-olds. You know, because you see that in the movies, and you see it in the movies because it's a real, real thing. If you really understand the martial arts, they're not based in strength. And it's not necessarily a sport. You know, it's not the strongest person wins. I mean, martial arts are there because done right, very small person can take down very big person. It's not about strength. And that's how you know your martial art works. It's a very small person can deal with very big person. So yeah, I miss it. I just totally miss doing Aikido. And it's interesting because I've been trying to get back into it. It's a little challenging. There are not so many schools here. And then, you know, some of them I don't feel that comfortable in their system. Totally good Aikido, just not really what I want to focus on, not really what I want to work on. And then I've had no interest in running my own school. But I've been teaching a little. Sometimes I get out, do some Aikido, do a little Aikido at the Dzogchen Retreat Center, things of that nature. But over the years, yeah, it's just kind of slipping. And it's hard to get back. You know, it's really, it's been a challenge. But I made a very true commitment about 6 months ago at the beginning of summer when I hurt my hand. Yeah, I did a couple podcasts about that. I hurt my hand really bad. And for a one-handed guy, that's tough. It took about 4 months to fully heal. So for 2.5 months, I couldn't really do the Aikido that I wanted to do. I made a commitment then, but couldn't follow through. So it's just mostly been in the late fall and early winter, and I'm pretty much back in Aikido training flow. And what's been really cool is that my last two podcasts were about my time in Hawaii, on the island of Kauai, going out there. And, you know, I have this other sensei, Francis Takahashi Shihan, he grew up in Hawaii. He met the founder of Aikido when Aikido first went to Hawaii, was the first united, the first state that Aikido came to. So I remember that because I was like, oh, I'm going to Hawaii. Francis Takahashi is from Hawaii. And there's a big, that's when I had like a little aha moment. Oh, there's a big tradition of Aikido in Hawaii. So I immediately got online and started looking for martial arts schools in Hawaii because I'm going to be there. You know, I'm not on the Big Island and I'm not on the next Big Island. I'm on Kauai, which is a little far away. But I know there's Aikido there. So I Googled, I did a search for Aikido in Hawaii, and I was stunned at how many schools are out there. Totally stunned. And even on Kauai, I think there were four schools, and one of them was like 2 miles from where my mom and I were staying. So in my head, I'm like, okay, I'm going to do Aikido in Hawaii. So I email the school. I email Wesley Sensei. He emails me back. He's like, oh yeah, come on out. You know, we don't have a mat fee. We're a nonprofit. You can just make a donation and you can train. But we're having a seminar that week. They had a week-long seminar, and you're invited to come out. The teacher was Fukuyama Sensei from Japan. This dude's, well, kind of a big deal in Japan. He's kind of like Godzilla, right? Meaning he's a big deal in Japan. And I was so excited. And then, you know, the dojo's run by a seventh-degree black belt. There's a lot of high-ranked people there. It was such a great experience for me to just go somewhere where I can train. You know, here in Idaho, I do a lot of the teaching because I have the highest rank in our Aikido groove. But it was nice just to train. It was great to be a student. It was great to have some high-end training. And I got 3 seminar training days and 1 non-seminar training day. And it was just, oh, it was just what I needed. Just what I needed. Because earlier in the year, in August, I went out to meet the founder of this affiliation that my sensei is now with. Ikeda Sensei is now with Aikido Shimboku Kai. And I want to be part of that affiliation. I think affiliation is a very, very good thing. And I want my rank to come from Aikido World Headquarters. And I want to support my sensei. Ikeda Sensei is part of this affiliation. They were having their first ever summer camp weekend. So yeah, I'm going out. I'm going out. I want to meet this sensei. I want to make a connection. I want to see Ikeda Sensei. Oh, let me tell you this. I was so excited to see Ikeda Sensei. I was so excited because I haven't seen him in like 8 years. And every now and then he would just write me out of the blue. Hey, Alejandro, just thinking about you. Hope you and your mom are well. You know, Tisha Bell would do that. Ledyard Sensei did that. Mary Heine Sensei did that. These people, they were looking out for me. They were checking in. And that's real special for me. And everyone else out there that knows me, that connected with me, that reached out to me, thank you. Because that made a difference then, and it makes a difference right now. But yeah, Ikeda Sensei was so happy to see me. Oh, Alejandro, how long's it been? I said, it's been about 8.5 years. And he's like, oh, that's a long time. I said, yes, it is, Sensei. I had a lot to take care of. And he said, yes, you did. And that we just picked up right where we left off. It was so good to see him. It was so good to see him. It was so good to train in Hawaii. And I met some really great people there. We had a lot of fun. And I miss having fun doing Aikido. I just really miss doing Aikido. And then here, now I train at Eagle Aikido. And, you know, sometimes, I mean, after training so much, I have high rank, all this kind of stuff. But if you don't train a lot, your chops aren't hot. My chops are a little rusty. My body's a little tight. I'm a little worried to train. But then, you know, after a couple early trainings, you know, a few months ago, oh, my body felt so good. I just feel so good rolling and tumbling and throwing and pinning and working on technique and going up and down. And it's just good. It feels good to move in the arena of Aikido. And I miss that so much. Oh, and I was having so much fun in Hawaii. And then, you know, when the seminar is over, we're talking to people. I don't really know any of the people there. But we're talking about stuff, and I'm talking to this woman and her husband. They came out just for the seminar. I just happened to be there. This one guy's like, oh, that's a pot of Aikido gold at the end of a Hawaiian rainbow. And it was, because it's just enough to go to Hawaii. But to be able to do high-end Aikido with a seventh-degree black belt and his teacher, eighth-degree black belt, I mean, come on. Just out of the blue, perfect. But we, you know, we were kind of going back and forth and just talking about Aikido stuff. And I was telling him, you know, who I've trained with and what I've done. And then I mentioned that I ran my own martial arts school for 10 years, but I closed it 10 years ago and I haven't really been doing any training. You know, my mom got sick and just dealing with finances and trying to make things happen. And she said, you know, Alejandro, I'm really glad you came back because it's hard to come back, especially after so much time. Like, it's hard to come back. And I've actually been thinking about that a lot. It can be, you know. I mean, I've already signed up for another seminar to go to back to GI Aikido because they're having their big Aikido Bridge seminar. My sensei is going to be there. Some really great people are going to be there. My affiliation's there, so it's a really good connection. And then the founder of Aikido's grandson, Doshu's coming back to California. I saw him in 2005, and that was a big deal for me. And I just got that news today, so I'm getting ready to sign up for that seminar September 2009. And then the Aikido Zen Retreat, which I did for probably 8 years in a row, 7 years in a row. And my good friend and heart sensei Tisha Bell is going to be there. So, you know, I'm already planning these things out and it's great to come back in, but it's mostly a training thing, you know, training here at Eagle Aikido twice a week, just coming back. She said, yeah, that's hard. Most people can't do it. And I've really been reflecting on that. That's this whole podcast is about being gone for 10 years and how much I miss it. But really it's really about what it takes to come back, you know, in 10 years, you can compress it down into one moment. You know, it's hard to go to the gym. It's hard to go to the dojo. It's hard to go train. It's hard to go run. It's hard to go work out. You know, the hardest part is getting there. But once you're there, it's great. We all know that. We all know that experience for whatever it is that you're committing to. But yeah, it can be hard to get back into flow. Sorry about that. I got slightly distracted because my computer shut off when I was recording my podcast, so I got to check back in. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to get back into flow. But I think I finally solidified it. I tried it a couple times, didn't quite work. You know, crash and burned, you know, just tried to get something rolling, tried to make something happen, but not so consistent. Not so consistent. And I don't know. You know what? I really want to do it. I miss it so much. I miss it so, so much. Not so much running a martial arts school. Okay, that's a whole different thing. Running a martial arts school is not like just training in Aikido. And I miss training in Aikido. So I'm back after 10 years gone. And it still takes a little bit of work. I got to schedule my time. I got to work things out. You know, I got to take care of my body a little more. I got to get back into my Aiki flow, the dro flow. That's what Tisha Bell used to say. Oh, Alejandro, it's the dro flow when you're doing your Aikido and just connecting with people. And oh, can I say it one more time? I really miss it, but I'm training a couple days a week. Just did another seminar in Hawaii, did one back in August, got one coming up in January, May, September. Got to squeeze some Buddhist training in there too. I'm looking at doing a couple of week-long, maybe summer camp next year at the Dzogchen Retreat Center. For me, there's a very big relationship between Aikido and Buddhism. And I want to keep that relationship in balance. So I teach Buddhism here. I spend a lot of time at a monastery, but I cannot let go of my Aikido training, the martial art aspect of my life. It's such a big deal, such a big deal. And it's going to take a little work, you know. My body's kind of tight. I'm cresting 50. Couple days, I'll be 50, you know. I got to keep moving. Can't be scared about being 50. I need to keep moving if I want to keep moving when I'm 60 and 70. But I do need to get into better shape, and I do have to be mindful about how hard I train and how long I train and all of these aspects. But then, know, all my Aikido clothes, they were pretty spent then, but yeah, they're a little beat up now. I have to invest some cash into some more Aikido clothing. I need a couple new gis. I got to up my game and get back into action. And it would be great to spend more time training. I remember after I closed my school, I think the last two people to teach at my school, I had George Ledyard Sensei and then Mary Heine Sensei. And after I closed my school, Ledyard Sensei out of Seattle. He's not in Seattle. Bellevue, East Side Aikido. I could be mistaken on the city. But we have a really good relationship, and he really likes my Aikido. And he actually wrote me a letter. He wrote me a letter, and he said, "You know, Alejandro, I know how hard it is to run a school, and I'm sorry they had to close your school. I think it's a really good thing, but I'll tell you what, I want to invite you to come be at my school." He's like, "Come out, move back out to the Seattle area. Move back out and train at my school. You don't have to run a school. You don't have to take care of all that. I'll do all that. You just teach once a week and you can train all you want." He's like, "I got fourth and fifth degree black belts. I have a lot of high rank students, and I will take care of you. I will get you to the next level." And man, that was such a great letter. Oh, that letter meant so much to me, because that was, I wanted to go so bad. It's hard for me to live where it's so wet and cold. And then at that time, I don't think my mom would have been up for that, and she wasn't doing that well. I had to turn him down. But to this day, I still think about that, and it would just be great to be able to go train with all these high-ranked people all the time. You know, that's kind of why I'd love to move back to Seattle or Portland. Portland, Oregon. Yeah, that's high on my radar, closer to the Dzogchen Retreat Center. A lot of great Aikido out there. It's just, I got a lung thing. It's so hard for me to live out there. So I gotta make it work with what I got and where I'm at. And it's great coming back. It is. It feels so good. I'll tell you what, I say that I miss it, but I didn't realize how much I missed it till I started doing it again. And I'm so happy. I'm so happy to be back at Aikido. Aikido! And, yeah, I'm going to be working on my fourth degree black belt. I'm real excited about that. And that's one of the reasons why I'm doing more seminars. I need to train with more high-ranked people. I need to work on my Aikido chops. And the great thing about fourth dan is that I can really showcase my one-handed Aikido. Because that's my thing. At fourth degree black belt, you have to really show how you internalize your Aikido and what makes your Aikido a reflection of who you are as a martial artist. So I'm going to be looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to training. I'm looking forward to supporting Eagle Aikido. I'm looking forward to seeing Tisha Bell at the Aikido Zen Retreat. I'm going to be in San Diego in January, and that's not a bad time to be in San Diego. Well, okay. This was a more personal podcast about my martial art training, my love of Aikido, and after being gone for 10 years, it's all, you know, just all about coming back, and sometimes how difficult it is to come back, to make that work in my schedule again, to create the time. You know, when I ran my martial arts school, I had a live-in student program. And basically, when you know, sometimes some students were like, "How do other students do it? How do students live in a dojo for 2 years and not work?" Well, I would tell them, man, if you really want it, you'll find a way. If your intention is pure, you can make it work. We always make time for the things that we really want to do. And you know what? I really want to do Aikido, so I'm making the time for it. Creating it, supporting Eagle Aikido here in Idaho, and just loving it. Man, I am so happy to be back on the mat and training. And basically, you know, podcast number 83 is just about my love of Aikido, coming back to Aikido, and just how excited I am to be doing Aikido. And with that, I'm going to bow out of this podcast. Domo arigato gozaimashita. Hey, thanks for tuning in. This is Alejandro with One Hand Speaks. Find me online at onehandspeaks.com and all your social media outlets.